From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. More than 24 people have tested positive for COVID-19 at Juneau's Kensington Mine, mine representative said yesterday. According to the company, that's after testing about 250 people on the remote mine site, yielding approximately 25 cases. Approximately half of the positive cases are exhibiting mild symptoms, and the remainder are asymptomatic, CoreAlaska spokeswoman Jan Trigg said in a statement. This company says the coronavirus-positive workers and their close contacts have been moved off the mine site. They're now isolating at a Juneau hotel until cleared by medical providers. CoreAlaska quarantines its workers for 1 week before testing them for COVID-19. Upon receiving a negative test, employees work on-site for 4 weeks. Kensington Mine is only accessible by air and water. It's one of the largest private sector employers in Southeast Alaska, with nearly 400 people on its payroll. Another person has died of the coronavirus in Alaska. It's the 28th death related to the disease in the state. A man in his 80s died with the virus in Anchorage. He had underlying conditions, according to the Department of Health and Social Services, which reported the death on Saturday. Alaska also surpassed 5,000 total cases reported since the beginning of the pandemic. That includes both resident and non-resident cases. Despite over 100 new cases of disease reported on Sunday, Alaska's transmission rates over the last 4 weeks are still trending down, something a top state epidemiologist attributes to Anchorage's strict health mandates. Some 49 crew members on the state ferry Matanuska are being tested for COVID-19 after a group of infected passengers rode the ferry last Monday. That's according to state transportation officials, who announced Friday that anyone traveling on the mainliner in recent days should monitor themselves for any coronavirus symptoms. Transportation officials say a group of 5 infected passengers boarded in Cake. They were traveling together and reportedly had no close contact with other passengers or crew. The ferry made a stop in Sitka before the 5 infected passengers disembarked in Juneau later that day. There were nearly 150 people on the ship that day. For more from Cake, officials in Cake announced today that they will continue to encourage community-wide testing in the Southeast Village, following the news that 3 more people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the community. As KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, the Kuprinoff Island community of around 500 people reported its first case last week and has restricted non-essential travel.
In a Facebook Live video on Monday, a nurse practitioner at Cake Search Clinic, Todd Galushka, said there are currently 4 active cases of the coronavirus in Cake. Most of the cases are either mild or asymptomatic, and all are toward the end of their 10-day isolation period.
All the families have been notified, and they are quarantined. We do have several other people that tested positive after they left Cake, but they are no longer in Cake.
The city is offering community-wide testing and urging residents to continue to go in for free COVID-19 screening on Saturdays. On Friday, the Alaska Department of Transportation announced that 5 passengers who boarded the state ferry Matanuska in Cake on August 10th were positive for COVID-19. Cake officials said they didn't know whether those cases were connected to any of the cases announced Monday. Cake's first reported case was a woman in her 60s that had symptoms. She was medevaced out of the community. Galushka urged residents to get their information from official sources, including the mayor's Facebook page, not rumors.
We need to not spread the panic. We need to not shame families that have tested positive. What we need to do is give them support. We need to come together as a community and not point fingers.
After the first reported case, Cake limited travel to and from the community to those traveling for critical personal needs or for critical infrastructure, like healthcare workers and law enforcement. All travelers must submit paperwork to Cake's mayor, Lloyd Davis. In the same Facebook Live video, Davis said he anticipated the travel restrictions will be in place until the end of the month.
It just depends on how things are going here, you know, with the positives. We need to curb these positives here in our community. And everybody should be pretty close to getting their first test results. I know how stressful it is waiting, you know, those 2, 3, 4 days, because I'm right there as well, too. So keep testing, everyone.
Cake officials are asking anyone who has tested positive to isolate for 10 days, but aren't asking them to retest. They're also asking residents who've tested negative to continue to test weekly. The clinic is hosting free asymptomatic testing from 9 to 1 every Saturday until the end of the year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
The upcoming Alaska primary will determine whether State Senate President Kathy Geisel returns to the legislature. She's facing a challenge in the Republican primary for her Anchorage seat by Roger Holland. He criticizes her leadership of the Senate, but she says her approach reflects the importance of compromise in governing the state. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Kathy Geisel's 2 years as Senate president have been eventful. It started with the legislature responding to Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal to close most of the state's then $1.5 billion deficit. Despite some spending cuts, the deficit has grown. Geisel says experience is going to be important in addressing the budget.
The state of Alaska is facing perhaps the most challenging times financially that we've faced since statehood. It's a time when experience and knowledge is critical to finding a productive path forward.
Geisel is a lifelong Alaskan who has been in the Senate for 10 years. She's an advanced nurse practitioner who's played a major role in shaping energy policy as a longtime chair of the Senate Resources Committee. She says more budget cuts will be needed to close the more than $2 billion gap. But she says the cuts Dunleavy proposed last year weren't appropriate. She attributes the approach to former state budget director Donna Arduin.
The budget cuts that were proposed by Donna Arduin demonstrated her complete lack of understanding of the critical needs and extremely diverse needs of our state.
Some of the most intense criticism she's received has been from her enforcement of a long-standing practice known as the binding caucus. A binding caucus requires members to vote for leadership on procedural votes, as well as for the budget. Geisel says anyone is free to leave the caucus. She says Alaskans benefit from lawmakers being able to compromise.
The wake-up call, I believe, happens when people arrive in Juneau and discover that there are 59 other people, all of whom have different interests than theirs.
Geisel's opponent is Roger Holland. He works as a metrologist, a job measuring whether products like those carried in commercial vehicles are properly weighed. He's lived in Alaska for 11 years after living in Louisiana for most of his life. He says he followed national politics for decades, but more recently became concerned with the state.
I just feel that Kathy has just kind of lost touch, not with so much, just with what her job should be as a Republican senator in a Republican state with Republican majorities in the House and the Senate and a Republican governor.
Holland wants larger spending cuts. He quoted U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's phrase, smaller government, more economic freedom. As for Dunleavy's budget proposal last year, Holland says he would need to look at it more closely. Holland supports drawing more from the Permanent Fund Earnings Reserve account than is currently outlined under state law. He says Alaskans are right to be concerned about the future health of the fund.
But if there was ever a time when Alaska was facing a crisis, I would say it is today. It wasn't 5 years ago when we spent down a CBR, but it would be today.
Holland says he would oppose having a binding caucus, even if ending the approach led to policy results he disagrees with.
We have 13 Republicans and 7 Democrats, and the majority leader is a Democrat, and the minority leader is a Democrat, and a third of the senators are stripped of their chairmanships and staffing and any real power.
The majority leader is Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman, who's caucused with Republicans for much of his tenure. Early in-person voting for the primary has started, and more than 18,000 absentee ballots statewide have already been mailed in. The primary election day is August 18th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
123 employees at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport are scheduled to be laid off in October. Another 19 employees at Fairbanks International Airport will be laid off at the same time. The majority are restaurant and service workers. A corporation that staffs both airports, HMS Host, furloughed employees at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in March. According to a company spokesperson, while furloughed employees were unpaid, they retained their benefits and could use paid time off during furlough. The spokesperson said they intended to rehire the furloughed employees, but the hit to both the travel and hospitality industries during the pandemic has made that impossible. Starbucks, Humpy's Great Alaskan Ale House, Norton Sound Seafood House, and Alaska Dog House are among the restaurants losing employees at the Anchorage Airport. President Donald Trump's administration is appealing a federal judge's rejection of a plan aimed at building a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge on the Alaska Peninsula. 2 months ago, Judge John Sedgwick threw out a land trade between the federal government and Alaska Native Village Corporation aimed at advancing the road project. He said the trade was illegal because it violated two separate federal laws, the Administrative Procedure Act and the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. The Trump administration issued a notice Friday saying it would appeal the ruling. Residents of the isolated Alaska Peninsula village of King Cove, with support from Alaska elected leaders, have pushed for construction of the road for decades. They say a road would make it easier to reach the nearby airport in the town of Cold Bay for life-saving medical evacuations. Environmental groups argue that the road could still be impassable during the winter and foul weather, and that the construction and traffic could harm Eisenbeck's birds and wildlife. This is the second time Trump's administration's land exchange has been challenged in federal court. And finally, a Southeast fisherman says he's donating a day's salmon catch every week to help feed his Annette Island community. Metlakatla fisherman Eldon Atkinson says it's an effort to provide food security for Alaska's only native reservation.
I'm going to be doing this over here in Metlakatla for the rest of the summer. You know, every week I'll bring in one day's full catch and just distribute it among the people over here. And if any other people want some, you know, they can get in contact with me.
His son, Johan Atkinson, says he's coordinating giveaways from his father and his cousin, Cameron Hollywood, through his cultural organization, Luwaida. It also sponsors the dance group, teaches traditional fishing and gathering methods, and serves dinners for elders. That is it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, August 17th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.